This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, real quick, Jake, is there anything off the textual line that we should address? Anybody out there calling me not a wimp or anything of the like?
No, just another thought from as far as freshman running back. Somebody throws out Marcus Dupree, 0973, says, and Marcus Dupree did have a special freshman season. His third team All-American, maybe if you were in the Big Eight, and obviously I didn't live through those days, so maybe it would stick with you, but I would say his season, less than 1,000 yards, a little bit a level lower than guys like Adrian Peterson, arguably should have won the Heisman that year. That was before they gave any freshmen the Heismans. Herschel Walker definitely should have won the Heisman that year and ended up winning a couple years later. Then Maurice Claret obviously led his team to the national title. So I'd say it's a little bit different level, but a good pull.
I like that. That is a good pull as well. It's not one I would have thought of, kind of like you, just a little bit before my time. But that's a good pull right there as well. All right, college football playoff insanity. So, well, real quick, what are your thoughts on what we've heard about the SEC, the Big Ten? So the SEC wants to change the strength of schedule metrics. Couldn't think of it. All I could think of was save our souls for some reason, but SOS popped in my head. I'm like, no, it's not save our souls. It's strength of schedule metrics. They want to like basically tweak it a little bit, so it's going to help them a lot. Essentially, an incredible emphasis on playing ranked teams. The SEC always has the most ranked teams. Preseason, we know how incredibly accurate preseason polls are. So basically, starting from day one, they have the most ranked teams, which there's a lot of SEC bias in. So then you beat these ranked teams. So then your strength of schedule skyrockets. And it would not emphasize as much the non-con. And it certainly would not emphasize their third bye week they have every year, that basically FCS team they play every year in November before they have their rivalry weekend. You know, Mercer, with all due respect, never heard of you. And they want to devalue that, of course. So that's a thing of contention. They did say there is a possibility with some of these formats, they might go to a ninth SEC game. So that is an option as well. But depending on the format, they may not want to go to the ninth SEC game. I do think the automatic qualifier format, which they are not a fan of now. Remember, they wanted that. Everybody got upset about it, except for me. I was like, no, this is actually great. This is actually going to help the ACC and Big 12, and it's actually going to put a cap, a limit on the SEC, so they don't have seven teams into a 16-team playoff, because that's what would happen with the 5-11 model. Now the Big 10 likes the 14-team or 16-team, the automatic qualifier format, and the SEC wants the 5-11 model. So, and then the other thing is the transfer portal window. They want to limit it to one window a year instead of two. But then the question is, when do you do it? Do you do it in the winter? Do you do it in January? There's just all sorts of disagreements between the two parents right now, mom and dad, Big Ten and SEC. What's your take and what are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, it is fascinating because, again, for years you could see the SEC and Big Ten kind of breaking away, becoming the powerful conferences. And it just got to a point to where it's undeniable, right? To where now they have all the power brands, the biggest conferences, all that. And so, you know, as we kind of see this developing for a long time, it's like those are going to be the winners. But they have to get on the same page at some point. And you would figure at some point, too, that they would have a difference in philosophy, if you will, because they just kind of have had that as conferences all together and you're fighting for yourself and all that. So that makes sense. But it's kind of strange. I always felt like they were kind of on the same page. When at some point it was going to have to come to, a little bit of an argument here. And the strength of schedule thing is so fascinating because, you know, like you said, there's preseason rankings and stuff that goes into that. Really, the strength of schedule ranking isn't even close to an exact science till the end. Then you can really make a pretty good idea of where the strength of schedule. Even then, though, injuries factor in, timing of playing, you know, who know, you know, a lot of different things can factor in to not make it an exact science. So, it's about one of the closest metrics that we could use, but it's not, again, it's not exact, and there's no way to kind of figure that out outside of what we've deemed now is just, all right, let's just play it on the field. But I was surprised that those conferences want to move away from the four automatic qualifying spots. That kind of seems fair to me. That kind of seems like it makes sense. Like, let's not act like these conferences are equal. I was surprised that we were doing the model ever to begin with to have like we did last year. Not that I foresaw the seeding being as bad as it was, but I was just surprised we were ever acting like they were the same conferences to begin with and should earn the same thing for winning the SEC as you would the ACC or Big 12 and Big 10. I don't want to kind of sound like SEC Homer there.
Nobody's ever going to accuse this show of being an SEC Homer. I think that's pretty clear. I'm just going to read a few tweets here. They are a little bit lengthy, but from College Football Insiders, Brett McMurphy and Ross Dellinger, conference commissioners have decided to, and I quote, start over on determining the 2026 college football playoff format, sources said. I think this is 2 years from now they're talking about that format. All right, the Big Ten and SEC initially wanted four AQs each, with two from the ACC, two from the Big 12, et cetera, et cetera. However, the ACC and Big 12 pushed back. I don't know why they did. Anyways, SEC, that's not what he said. That's my interjection right there. SEC coaches later publicly did not support the four AQ model, instead preferring a five AQ plus 11 at large format for the 16-team playoff, as did the ACC and Big 12. I'm going to pause right there. The ACC and Big 12, they need a reality check, because the SEC wants this format because the automatic qualifier format, which they no longer are a fan of, limits them to four teams. In their mind, if we make it at large spots, 11 of them, plus our conference champ, we're getting like six, seven, maybe even eight teams in. And you look at the ESPN, top 10 most difficult strength of schedules in the country, and which teams have those? I talked about it, I think it was Nick on Friday or maybe Monday. They're all 10 SEC teams. So apparently the 10 toughest schedules in the country all belong to SEC teams. They want to make the strength of schedule more important when it comes to evaluating these teams, which I am for. But let's not emphasize things that help a certain conference and de-emphasize things that would affect a certain conference, and in essence, helping them again. I'm just like, the SEC wants this for a reason. Am I the only one that's like, there's a reason they want this? Why the Big 12 and ACC want it? Because I have no freaking idea. All right, SEC coaches later publicly did not support a 4-AQ model, instead preferring the 5-AQ plus 11 at large format for the 16-team playoff, as did the ACC and Big 12. The SEC wants more value given to strength of schedule metrics, talked about that, something the CFP executives discussed in today's meetings. However, a source cautioned, even if a strength of schedule is supposed to carry more weight with the committee, it still boils down to their opinions. Like when people say, the eye test told me. All they're saying is my opinion, by the way. All right, it still boils down to people's opinions, and I'm going to inject the word bias. We all have bias. I have bias. Everybody has it. That's why we need as many people involved in this process. We need some computers involved. We need some people involved. We need different points of view so the bias gets diluted and hopefully becomes more accurate without having too many chefs in the kitchen. All right, but we'll keep on reading. Deadlines for finalizing the 2026 college football playoff is December 1st of 2026. Now, here's Ross Dellinger. Now, let me see. Clark and the college football playoff staff have spent the last several weeks studying ways to create data points. I don't know who Clark is. I just screenshotted this, so Clark must be important. All right, to be used in the playoff discussion. They are more heavily weighted on a team's strength of schedule, even using outside mathematicians and data analysis to assist in this endeavor. So they are all about the strength of schedule, because last year they had all these teams with three losses that didn't get in, and they want to de-emphasize the wins and losses and emphasize the strength of schedule, which I don't have a problem with to a degree. But how are you determining strength of schedule? That's where I'm kind of like, I think we're jading it a little bit in the SEC's favor, how we're determining strength of schedule. That's what they want. Next tweet from Ross, college football playoff expansion to 16, which I don't want. I want 14. That's just me, not Ross. May hinge on the selection criteria change. SEC's move toward an 8Q heavy format, okay, the 5-11 model. The Big Ten supports the 4-4-2-2-1-1 model, but was stymied with pushback. All right, even from its coaches that shifted the league to a format with a bigger at large pool. All right, apparently, I cut off part of that tweet as I screenshot it. Basically, the SEC wants a bigger at large pool. The Big Ten wants the 4-4-2-2-1-1 model. All right. Let me finish the rest of this tweet here. Yeah, basically, I can read it all, but basically, I'm kind of skimming through. They want the 5-11 models, the SEC. The Big Ten wants the AQ model. I want it. I've talked about this before. I want it played out on the field. I want to take human bias out of it as much as possible. If we go to a 5-11 model, I mean, the ESPN SEC network is just going to hammer home the SEC all day long. The people who vote, there's a reason there's so many preseason SEC teams ranked versus other conferences. The SEC is a good conference, not disparate, not arguing that. But at a certain point, what happens in the regular season has to matter. And if you don't want college football completely centralized, just a Southeast, maybe a Big Ten, you know, a little dab here and there, you've got to give other conferences an opportunity, or all people are going to see is SEC teams, and that's where everyone's going to go, all the recruits are going to go. If you keep it more evenly dispersed, then teams like Clemson and the Big Ten and some of these other teams, Arizona State out of nowhere, have a chance to keep college football more balanced. That is not really what even the Big Two want, the Big Ten and SEC. They want the power. They want to have the control because they're not interested in what's best for college football, which is everybody having a more equal shot. All right. They're interested in what's best for them, which is the SEC and the Big Ten having certain advantages. And the SEC right now is trying to create the ultimate advantages for themselves. Thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, it's just fascinating, again, because you do see that bias, and sometimes it just doesn't play out. I mean, the best example, of course, is coming off of last year, where if you would have done this at large, type of situation, we have 11 at larges. I don't know what the exact math was. I was trying to look it up, but you know, you might be, Alabama might've got in, South Carolina might've got in. And you know, when you played it out, the bowl games out there, and again, bowl games, people sitting out, that sort of thing, maybe not again, exact to what it used to be, but Illinois and Michigan got the wins there. So the perception again, could be the SEC is strong. These teams are, you know, a loss or two away because they play in the SEC from being ranked even higher, and then they go out there and lose to a Big Ten team, even though they're favored, and then, you know, reality kind of sets in. So that's, I understand it, but it is interesting, definitely kind of going in here, because we're seeing a shifting of arguments, right? Because for the longest time, it was that the SEC, okay, the SEC, from what I hear from people, is that the SEC is, yeah, they've won all these titles, but they're top heavy. And now it's almost like the SEC is, because they haven't won the last two titles, is now kind of, you know, turning toward, you know, the middle is you know, we just have a better middle conference. You know, there's so much depth in the SEC, and that's kind of what they're hoping to get over here. So just kind of interesting to see how arguments change over the years. And the Big Ten, you know, has to kind of stand this fight. It sounds like they're kind of the odd man out there. And so, I'd see the SEC and the other conferences get their way, but who knows?
So I've heard the depth argument now as well, because they can't argue about winning national titles. What happened when we got deeper into the conferences and Michigan played Alabama in the bowl game? Bam, Michigan won. Get deeper into the conferences and Illinois plays South Carolina. Boom, Illinois wins. The only SEC team that looked good in the postseason really at all was Texas. Got into the Final Four. Lost to a Big Ten team, just throwing that out there. And Ole Miss beat Duke in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And they celebrated by dumping mayonnaise on the head coach. So for me, I get so sick and tired of, well, if these games played, this team would get killed. And then we do get some games that are played, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, they're bowl games. They don't matter as much anymore. Or the players were sitting out or whatever. Well, Michigan was the team with all the players sitting out and all the guys injured, not Alabama. I get so sick and tired of this phrase, the eye test tells me. I don't want to hear opinions. I do want to hear opinions, but I want to see things actually determined by what happens on the field. Because at the end of the day, we can say, oh, this team will beat that team, and this team will beat this team, and this conference is this, and this conference is that. Why don't we just play the games out on the field, which is one of the major reasons I like the 14 team. Creates a little bit more emphasis on the regular season, the conference championship games, Big Ten and SEC, than the 16 team playoff. And you either qualify by being one or two in the Big Ten SEC, then you make the SEC Big Ten championship game, so you're automatically in. Now you'd be fighting for a first round bye or not. But then three, four, five, and six in those conferences, and 1 through 4 in the ACC Big 12, you are either in the playoff because you won or because you lost. And the other thing is, you can be one of the top teams in the country, like middle to late November, and you're not guaranteed anything. So what if Nebraska is 9-1 mid-November? Probably a top 10, top 5 team. If you're doing the 5-11 model, as much... Maybe Nebraska is a terrible example, okay, because we would love this scenario as Nebraska fans. So I'm going to take Nebraska out of it. Let's say Colorado, okay? Colorado's 9-1. Let's say that the 8th ranked team in the country. They know that they can lose at least one game and still get into a 16-team playoff probably. It's 10-2. They're probably, you know, or whatever. But if you're in the automatic qualifier model, you can be a top five SEC team. You can be a top five Big Ten team. But if you get 2 to 3 losses and you're not in that Big Ten SEC championship game, you're not guaranteed anything because you have to play in that play-in game and you might be out before the playoffs ever start. Does that make sense? Whereas if you're going by rankings, if you're an SEC Big Ten team, you can lose 3 games, you're still going to get in. And so it devalues the regular season. Does that kind of make sense? I know I jumped all over the place from Nebraska to Colorado and whatever, but that kind of makes sense.
It does. It's just there's so much out there for the former. Like you're saying, like play-in games with these conferences are talking about having the 3 play the 6 and conference standings and stuff like that, rather than just the championship game. Is just another idea that's floated out there that I know you like, but it's just, you know, there's so much. There's so many different ways to determine a champion and determine who makes these playoffs. Again, we fight so hard to find the right or the best model, but there, no matter what model you do, is going to leave some people unhappy.
Oh, you're never going to make everyone happy. And there is no perfect model. You just have to go with the one that you believe is best. And that's the one I'm kind of arguing for, is the one that's going to emphasize the regular season, winning games on the field, and taking things out of the opinions of, taking the power away from people's opinions and putting the power into what happens on the field. All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we'll be joined by Husker legend Jordan Westerkamp.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.